Hello, everyone. Scratchy voice today. Sorry about that. Just getting over some illness and some hoarseness, and it's not good when you speak for a living. But I am here. We had a little glitch here in the beginning, so I think we're on good and recording. Hopefully we got most of the stuff recorded. We'll have to go back and take a look at that. But then welcome, welcome, welcome. So we're finishing up here in July 2013. Kurt Morton's in here. We're just going to spend 20, 30 minutes talking about the world of persuasion and influence, talk about tools, answer your questions. A lot of you are doing replays, so we get those questions at whitepersuasion.com. The recording's also posted at whitepersuasion.com. That's your resource site. Those that are doing this via Skype, you can always email those questions there, too, at the website. And, of course, some people have already posted some questions, and we can work through some of those. Key factor here to understand with persuasion influence, you'll hear me say it thousands of times, hopefully it's getting into your brain, that a lot of persuasion involves subconscious triggers and conscious feelings. We are not thinking people that feel, we are feeling people that think. You have to get that right as far as what we've learned about the brain. So we need to be careful here about a few things that we're doing we don't even know that we're doing that causes resistance, that are major blunders, we can call it. We'll call it a blunder day today. And it's interesting, you know, I fly a lot, and there's a lot of tension in the air. There's a lot of people that feel that you shouldn't put your seat back. That's rude. Some people feel that if you, I mean, think about it. Just try putting your head on somebody's shoulder next to you. That would be a violation of space. Even in a movie theater, 10 people in the theater and someone sits right next to you, that would have an uneasy feeling to it. So there's some things that we're doing that with people we know and don't know that we need to be careful of. You know, airlines is an interesting one because, especially with the airlines where you don't get the first come, first serve as far as choosing your seat, it's interesting how much you hate the person that's going to sit next to you in that middle seat. Even though they don't have a choice, even though they have paid for that, you still have uneasy feelings towards that person. So if you try to persuade someone, don't take their middle seat. There's rule number one today. Also, we need to realize the study of that space. We talked about space for men and women a little bit different. The study was done at a blackjack table in Vegas. Two men, two women sit together. Two women get up, the two men separate. The two men get up, the women don't separate. So guys need a little more space sometimes. If there's an extra seat, they're going to put it between them. That's just kind of how we are, the unwritten man rule, as you might want to call it. And so that would be something that would talk about the study of space, which is proxemics. And every culture is different, every gender is different, and how you sometimes we want to violate someone's space. So you'll see a lawyer do that with during a courtroom trial. You see a football player grabbing a player and pulling them close by their helmet. But, you know, people in North America like 24 inches. People in South America, it's more like 16 inches. People in Germany, it's 28 inches. And some places in the Middle East, they want to feel your breath. That might give you some willies, but that's just how it is. So you might even see this, might even happen to you. And you have a North American and a South American talking. If you fast forward, they're standing at a party, the North American keeps backing up, trying to gain space, we're getting their personal space, and the South American keeps getting closer and closer, and they almost dance all over the whole place. And so we need to understand about space and getting people's space. You've heard have you ever watched the Seinfeld, the close talker, where you just right into someone's face, that's too much. But it's bigger than that. Because when you go into somebody's office, imagine if you picked up the chair and moved it behind the desk with them. Imagine somebody doing that to you. That would be a violation of space. Moving things on their desk. I don't know if your dad or your grandpa, I know my grandfather had his favorite chair. And if somebody came in and sat in that chair, look out. It wouldn't always say anything, but he was nervous and tense and uneasy, didn't know what to do, didn't know where to sit. That was his chair. So you got to be very careful of space. And if you want someone to feel uneasy, obviously you violate their space. Even the way you sit at a restaurant, for guys especially, sitting more in angles, less confrontational. The way you sit, you know, in a boardroom, the way you approach them in the office, where you sit, how you sit, how much space you take, what you touch, what you don't touch, is all part of that. even if things you don't touch. For example, old school persuaders, old school sales training will teach you to, okay, you go into someone's office and you look around for something to talk about. Hey, did you catch that fish? That's a big fish. What kind of fish is it? I interview these people, and they're taking the fish home. They're taking the trophy home. They're taking the picture of the family, and they're moving it because they're tired of talking about it. You know, the first 22 times, that was great, but then everybody's bringing it up. What's going on? Is it a conspiracy? They're just done, tired of talking about it. Now, obviously, if you were proficient at it, it would work very well. Now, first of all, let me back up. Before you do any gushy chit-chat, you need to make sure they know why you're there, the what's in it for me, the why should I care. This is going to be time well spent. Second thing is, if you did see that fish on the wall and you say, you know what? What is that, about 102-pound mahi-mahi? Did you catch it off the coast of Oahu, or was it Maui? You know, what pound of line did you use, and what type of bait did you use, and what did you use that? You know, I remember, and if you can talk coherently about that, know what you're talking about, that's something different. There's a connection there. But if you're just saying it to say it, and you have no idea, oh, that's not a fish, oh, you know, you're going to lose a lot of points. And so that could even cause one of those blunders. That is a major blunder, actually, with the proximics in the office, moving things around, talking about things you know nothing about just because you were told to do that, can really hurt. And also, this intro part. You have to remember, first impressions are like quick drying cement. I mean, 30 seconds, it's dry, it's done, they've pegged you, and it's very difficult to change. It's possible to change. You can rip out old cement and put in new cement. It's difficult, it's problematic, it takes a lot of time, effort, and money. So you just do it right the first time. And so that initial first impression, what are we looking at? One of the things that's interesting is touch. Part of rapport, part of connectivity is touch. And touch can really help you or really hurt you. There's really no in between with touch. Now we see in football the old butt slap, and that's not something that, maybe it's something you can try in the workplace. I don't think that'll work very well. But he's like, okay, pat on the rear. Touch, for example, librarians who touch get better valuations, waitresses that touch get higher tips. There's something about touch, and there's safe places to touch and unsafe places to touch. You know, shoulders, arms, we're usually the safe places. And there's rules. There's corporate rules. There's culture rules. There's government rules, I guess we can call them. You know, and men touching women, there's a lot of rules. Women touching women, there's a few rules. Women touching men, no rules. We like it, so I guess it doesn't matter. I know there's probably a few rules there, too, but we have to be aware. And so you just have to play that bear. Some people grew up and just didn't touch. And so if you touch somebody on the shoulder and they get all squeamish and they squirm or they scream or they hit you, you know that's not a type of person that you probably want to be touching. Probably want to send a coworker to test it out so they get the bad eval, not you. So the reason I bring this up is touch that's universal in almost every culture is handshake. That's touch, right? You're touching them. Now, we got to talk about the rules here. If I'm influencing up or if I'm talking to a CEO of another company, that's going up. And males especially will come to shake hands and their hand will be on top. And it's something you probably want to fight them for. Let them have it. And if you are influencing up, do not put out your hand unless they do it first. Because you're going to feel pretty stupid if you put your hand out and they don't shake it, because some of them won't. There are people that are concerned about germs, and some people just don't do it. And some people think, you know, I'm tired of shaking everyone's hands. And there's a lot of reasons. So we've all had the complaints about the handshake. What are the big complaints? Limp, cold, clammy, hot, sweaty. Too hard of a grip, crushed my hand, too many pumps. I mean, it's a list versus what makes a great handshake. So here's what's interesting about the studies here. As a bad handshake will set you back 1 hour in building rapport. Really? 1 hour in building rapport. So you need to, first of all, get it through your brain that you don't have a good handshake. You need to get through your brain that your handshake might be good for some people, but for other people it's not. that you should learn to mirror and match. Learn to adapt your handshake. If there are a squeezer, you can squeeze back. If they don't squeeze very hard, you don't squeeze very hard. You want to square up your shoulders. You want to look them in the eye. 2 to 3 pumps is enough. Nothing's worse than so many pumps you're trying to get your hand away. You want to make sure your hand's dry. You want to make sure that you interlock as much as possible, that you don't squeeze too hard. I mean, obviously, these are some things that we can go through that we can talk about that you need to know about, and very simple to do when you are aware of it. And that's the key factor. That's what you need to know when you're doing it. That's why we're talking about some of these blunders and some of these things you should and should not do to kind of help you out through this process and you know exactly what you need to do. Sorry. Hold on. Have not been well lately, so I'm back. It was like 2 weeks ago I took a bunch of young men up and hiked the Grand Tetons. There's three. We did the middle one. And I wasn't feeling too well before we started. This is a 15-hour hike starting at 4 a.m. Beautiful, incredible glaciers. I mean, glad I did it, but that really threw me back. So if you're near Grand Tetons, Yellowstone, that is an incredible hike. In fact, my favorite part is the stream coming down is glacier-fed. You don't have to worry about germs. You can drink it, and it's fresh mountain glacier water. Good stuff. So how's that for a tangent? So let's talk, get some of your questions. You can, those who are on the phone line, you can ask me through the phone. I know most of you are doing Skype and have me muted. Go ahead and just send those in. One of the questions again is, Kurt, my hand tends to be sweaty. What do I do? Well, don't sweat. I know that doesn't work. So again, we're all blessed with different things. Some of us are more sweaty than others. Try to wipe it off on your pants and your pocket before you shake hands. I've heard of some people, I've never done this, actually get an antiperspirant with that no smell. It's just pure antiperspirant. You can actually put that on your hands. It helps some people. I mean, if it's a big issue, it's something to think about. You know, on the cold side, if your hand's always cold, that's probably not as a big deal. You can warm it up in a pants pocket or on your shirts, just something. And if it's obvious, it's something you probably want to address. And that's the thing about a lot of things we talk about. Some of these things we can fix, some things we can't. But, you know, number of pumps we can look at, the strength of the grip we could take a look at. And that was another question is, how do we know when we're squeezing too hard? Well, if they scream, if they start crying, would be one. But, you know, just, you know, guys sometimes, it's like, oh, I don't shake a hand. You know, they squeeze, got to squeeze really tight. And I would just try to match it as much as possible. And that's, you know, try to get to almost the same that they're doing. Sometimes we're not that good at judging. At least you're getting close. And that's not going to be a big deal. Another question here is about how do you know when you violate someone's proximics or somebody's space? Well, most of it is just being aware and seeing what you're doing. That if you move a little bit forward and you see them backing up, you know you haven't built rapport and you know that they need their space. If they're nervous, uneasy, and tense would be one. If they start sitting further back in their chair or folding their arms or kind of looking like they want more space would be one. Look at it when you talk about rapport and connection. You look at their shoulders or their feet. When you're talking to someone, there's a connection. The shoulders are squared up, the feet are pointed at you. So if any one of those are askew or both are askew, you know there's no connection and you've got some other things to worry about. So that's how you know, is being aware. And some people are missing these social radars. They just don't know they're violating your space. They don't know that they touch you too much. They don't know that sitting next to a stranger in an empty movie theater freaks people out. There's some people like that. So a lot of times, it's not necessarily something mean or vicious. They just don't know. I mean, people get tense when they have their expectations because when you look at the emotion of frustration, frustration comes from unmet expectations. And that's what, you know, back to flying. Some people expect the person not in front of them not to put the seat back. That's rude. It takes their space. That person might be thinking, hey, I paid for this. And I got this button here. I can go back as far as I wanted. And I've seen a lot of tension there, people pushing on seats. And, you know, I go back and forth on that one. I did have, you know, something when I was working on a laptop, and they put their button in, and they leaned their seat back as fast as they could, and they caught the top of my laptop and snapped my monitor in half. And, of course, it wasn't their fault. I was the stupid one, right? You know, we could have gone back and forth. So I'm not going to say what's right or wrong, but based on people's expectations, that could escalate to frustration, which could escalate to anger. And I've seen on airplanes, again, I fly a lot with people who are pushing on the seat, kicking it with their feet, and almost coming to blows. And it's really interesting to look at that side of human behavior. That's the part of the side we don't want to see very often. So those are some other things. It says, question here is, how do I know when I should sit down when I walk into my first appointment? Usually they're going to invite you down. If they're already sitting down, they're going to point. If they're still standing up, I would not sit down. It depends on the relationship. Because here's something that they do teach people to do. When we talk about time management, pop in, they do teach people to stay standing. How can I help you? What are you looking for? Because that shortens the duration of the meeting. People will get comfortable and get right to the point. So if it's a coworker, it's just something that they've been trained to do. It works very well, by the way. If someone pops in and you're really busy, just say, hey, stand up with them. How's it going? You know, great, and just stay standing. And if they don't get that clue, say, well, walk with me. I was heading to the restroom. And hopefully they don't follow you in, especially depending on the gender. That would be a whole other persuasion study. So those are some things to think about there. Those are some good questions. I've got one more here. We pulled up coming in. As far as touch is concerned, it says, is it I'll just keep it brief here. How do we know when somebody wants to be touched? And I don't know if people, I mean, we want to be touched, but it's not something we necessarily know. We kind of enjoy it. That you can tell. And maybe you can see how much they touch others. If you see them to put your hand on someone's shoulder doing this, it's probably something that you could reciprocate. But if they've never touched anyone and you've never seen them be warm or personal, that's who they are. That's how they grew up. I mean, some families didn't say I love you. They didn't hug. They didn't touch very much. And that's how it was for some people. And that's their reality. That's their life. And that's okay. We just need to be aware of that. And just being aware, being perceptive is the big piece there. Good question. Someone said I spelled proxemics. The way you spelled it is P-R-O-X. E-M-I-C, let me get it right, P-R-O-X-E-M-I-C-S. There we go, proxemics. And, you can Google that, find more information on that. There's some information on that also in Persuasion IQ that talks about different cultures and different things. But that's something, now that you know, you shouldn't let it bother you, especially if you know they're trying to make you feel uncomfortable. So that is our program, show, call, webinar, or conference call, whatever you want to call it today. And that's how it's going to roll. The recording will be posted at whypersuasion.com. Comments, questions, feedback, rude remarks can all be posted there too. So thanks for listening today. Thanks for your questions. And we'll talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.